Cassidy wrestles with the dichotomy of love while an angel and demon literally wrestle behind him. Eugene talks to Jesse, still feels a little stabbed in the back. Jesse feels a little shot in the back. And Tulip and Jesus walk into a bar. That's not the setup for a joke. That's just a scene that happened in this episode. So we're going to talk about it. Stay tuned for Preacher Season 4, Episode 5, Bleak City.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, Preacher fans. Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Preacher After Show.
Yeah.
We're talking about Preacher, Season 4, Episode 5, Bleak City. I'm your host, Elena Jordan, and joining me today, the comic aficionado himself, Dave Child.
Hi. I've read the comics. That's all that means. Boom.
Yeah. We got Dave Child here to talk about the Holy Child.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
why it's.
I just talk about every child that there is. That's,
yes.
That comes with my name.
So welcome, children.
Yes.
Yes.
Gather around.
Gather around.
Let us tell
you
a tale of Bleak City.
So what did you think about this episode?
I thought it was good. It was a bit of a treading water episode, but not in a bad way. It's kind of a building tension. It's kind of nice to see an episode where they're trying to figure out what the next step is and where to go. And you see everyone kind of taking in what they have to do next and trying to figure it out. But I'm just sad we didn't get a backstory about how Cass bleached his hair. That was just...
I honestly thought that there was going to
be a big reveal. I kind of love it because what it means is the actor just bleached his hair
yeah.
and then showed up to set and they were like, oh, okay.
They're like, we'll make it work. It's fine.
All right.
I love that they address it by having her just casually say, like, what happened to your hair? And he's like, mean.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's cruel. Hurtful. Hurtful.
He did fly into the sun with an angel, so maybe it just bleached as he burned, like, into the sun.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's my only guess. And by the way, we do have the chat open, so we are
yes.
talking to all of ya.
Yes. Yes. We'll be talking to you guys, hearing what you have to say about this episode as well. So be sure to join us in the chat.
Yes.
Live every Sunday. Sunday. We'll also be talking not only about the episode, but also a little bit about how it differs from the comic books at the end of the episode. So be sure to stay tuned for the whole episode where we'll not only give our predictions, but also that special segment that we've creatively dubbed Page Flipped.
Page Flipped.
Where we take that page and we see what they've flipped.
Get it? Flip.
Yeah.
It's flipped out.
Whoop. And of course, Ryan, our producer in the booth, as always,
yeah.
Ragai in the house.
I'm not the voice of God. This is Ryan.
Yeah, God's a character in the show, so we have to differentiate the voice of God.
And he's kind of an arsehole, so you're much better than God than, God
true.
In the show.
That's true. We like you.
Aww. There's a lot of things to make... As usual, the show continues with the, this is going to make some people angry. There's moments that are just like, ugh.
This show
really
has never tried to kowtow to anyone, really. Like,
no.
It is very much.
No. There was even a moment that made me feel uncomfortable in this episode. And I'm not too much.
Do you want to go ahead and say, or is it a little tease for what's to come?
It's basically when Jesus hugs Hitler. I was like,
yeah, that was rough. I was not a fan of that. That was weird to me.
I don't think that needs to be there. I liked it when he was like, I'm not going to shake your hand.
I'm not going to shake your hand.
And I was like, good. And then he was like, I'll hug you. And I'm like, no.
Jesus.
I know Jesus is still a nice guy. They're setting up someone who's just like kind of a, you know, he has a job and he has to do it. And he's a nice guy. And he kind of upset about the one mistake he made. And we made it clear that he doesn't even have magic Jesus powers. It's all metaphor. So,
but we'll talk
just,
a little bit about
we'll
Jesus later.
It.
I don't want to get too into that topic because first we got to talk about the big A storyline.
Yeah,
which is not the A-hole storyline, how Tulip feels about God. But
well, it does have an A-hole mouth kind of situation.
An arsehole. Yeah, there you go. Arseface.
Yeah.
Eugene and the Saint are continuing their quest to find Jesse. Eugene just wants his apology. apology and the saint wants blood, is what's been set up thus far. And it is kind of funny, too, that you're like, this is an episode that was kind of treading water, because I was like, Jesse just got out of the water. He's finally out of the raft. He's on land.
I feel so bad for everyone Jesse meets now.
God, so this is, yeah, so this sets up where we have basically...
I'm sorry, Mr. Jackson.
So anyway, yeah, so we set up where we've got this montage of Australia, which I love how also this show is very much sticking to its very unique kind of cinematography and its editing style, and it shows us.
So it's like a screensaver that's suddenly on.
Yeah, so we see like all of this tourist info, and we see it cut in with, you know, like the rugby players, and then ultimately screams, and we're not really sure what's going on until we discover that, oh, this is a video that is playing in the friggin' Australia Welcome Center,
right,
where everyone has been murdered, and the saint is just chilling while Eugene is praying over their sad dead bodies.
Yeah.
Man! This is letting us know that the saint, in true saint form, is taking no prisoners. Like, he's really, really going for it.
Right.
Jesse's trying to be a little bit more kind. And we see this scene with him, with Jackson, the car rental agent, where he's saying, look, here's the deal. I know that it's saying you pulled me up on this computer, that I'm a wanted man. It's saying I did all of this stuff. I don't have any weapons, but I do have the power to compel you to do what I want. I'm trying not to use this power. And we're like, oh, thank goodness, because the saint's going to find you.
Yeah.
And so we're like, don't use it. And he just asks politely, gets the keys, but then trying to be a good
guy,
the word to make Jackson not stutter. What did you think about this scene?
You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming because it's like, oh, here's a guy with a definitive stutter and a problem that he could fix really easily, and he also doesn't know that the voice is like getting tracked, essentially. Not yet, he doesn't know. So when he does it, and he does set up like, I'm trying to use it less, which is kind of the right lesson. Like, he can't use it that much. He has to use it just for specific purposes. And it was a good use of it. If he didn't have a killer just like tracking his every move, then that would be a great use of the stutter.
I did love, though, the split screen, the way that they show this, where as soon as he uses the word, that we get this stylistic, the split screen of the saint hearing it in the moment. Which this is something that we also see where we have the split screen of this to show the dichotomy between these two characters and have them as kind of foils against each other, which we ultimately see as this progresses and the saint and Eugene are tracking down Jesse. Jesse is warned by Eugene to run away, and then ultimately he comes back again trying to do the right thing. To saying, you know, and we even see the only problem I had with this episode was this scene with him talking to himself in the car, where he says out loud when he turns around, Eugene. I'm like, we are smarter as an audience. We get it. We don't need the.
But at the same time, he was going through the thought process that I was kind of going through, where there is the sense of he sees Eugene. This is the first time he's seen Eugene since he sent Eugene to hell. So he really does have to think this out. And unfortunately, he doesn't have anyone to talk about this to, so he does have to have that kind of device where he's talking to himself. But he still has to go through the thought process of like, oh, is the saint going to kill Eugene? Well, he's still alive, so that probably means he won't.
That I didn't have a problem with. It wasn't this. It was the actual when he turned around, and it was evident to us, like, oh, he's going back for Eugene. And he says aloud, Eugene. I was like, I just felt like that was unnecessary. And it kind of took me out of it because it felt like it was a little pandering to the audience.
To me, it wasn't, because it also showed that I think every single time that car almost hit him, because there was a car that almost
that
hit
truck,
him in the alleyway, and then he sees Eugene. And then this time, a car almost passes him, and then he thinks, okay, Eugene.
Yeah.
So it kind of linked up those two trucks, and I think it also kind of showed that those trucks were being maybe sent by God to kind of
get him back
there.
Well, because we saw the truck earlier as one of the toys that were set out with the plane that we hadn't seen the truck thus far.
And also when he was at the crossroads, which is obvious imagery that they're
But that's why I just felt like the verbal Eugene just bothered me, because it was like, I feel like that had been established. Like, I feel like we didn't need it. I didn't think that anybody was going to go, well, then why'd he turn around?
No, it wasn't like the fact he said Eugene. It was how he said Eugene.
Yeah.
And so I felt like it was fine. It was him kind of going like, no, for Eugene, I got to do it. I mean, they could have cut it and it would have been fine. But for me, it was enough since it's kind of ended the conversation he was having to himself. So it felt like that's appropriate fair. Use of it to kind of turn around.
And then literally turn around.
Turn around, yeah.
but I mean, I liked how we see too the juxtaposition of Jesse with Eugene. And we see, what are we laughing at?
I'm laughing at the fact that Ivan in the chat said, we all talk to ourselves at times, don't we? And right now he's the only one in the chat. So
legit. Shout out to Ivan, too. You're not talking to yourself. We're talking to you, too.
Yeah.
Again, too, we love hearing from you guys. So be sure to join us in the chat. And also, just leave us comments. If you can't watch us live, we love hearing your comments. Before we get too far into this one, this is a Cass comment that was brought up to me.
Right.
That I'm going to go ahead and say now before I forget. Amanda Campos, shout out to you. Because she brought up the fact that I didn't even think about, how does Cass keep his tattoos when we show that he's constantly regenerating? How does he keep the ink in his skin? And when he's cut up in all of these places, how do the tattoos regenerate?
That's a good point.
Thought about that. I've done the after show for this for 4 friggin' seasons, and I didn't think about it until now.
Unless at a certain point it becomes a part of him.
But how?
Magic? Vampire magic?
Yes, magic tattoos.
If it's just like, if it's a part of your skin, if it's ink in your skin, when it regenerates, the ink must regenerate as well. But it's like, you know.
It's like, how?
It does fade over time, tattoos, so.
There's lots of questions that maybe, we have.
Maybe they don't regenerate, but he just gets new tattoos every single time.
But we've seen him, like, be cut up and then come back and have the same tats.
Maybe we haven't, though. Maybe that's an assumption on our part.
Oh.
Have we seen, like, him lose an arm and then the arm come back?
Yeah, we've seen him chopped up. And then he has the same tats.
Same tats? Maybe he goes off and when he gets his hair dyed, he also gets new tats. Look exactly the same.
You never know.
Obviously, he has a salon just around the corner everywhere he goes.
If you have any suggestions, questions, or vampire beauty tips, please leave them in the comments below. Yeah. Also, while you're here, go ahead, subscribe. AfterBuzz TV, give us those 5 stars. Give us that thumbs up. Mm. If you're on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud, we're all over the place.
Boom, boom, boom.
And we love hearing from you guys, so be sure to check out all of our shows here at AfterBuzz TV, specifically the ones that we're on, you know, because they're better because we're on them, but they're all great, and they're even better when we get to hear from you guys, so thank you guys. But yeah, so seeing this juxtaposition of the Saint and Jesse, we finally see this really, really come to a head when we have these cops that are being called towards Jesse.
It was interesting. As soon as he learned, especially that he can use the ability to lure the Saint into a spot where he can hit him with a wrecking ball, which was a great shot.
Yeah, let me just set up real quick. I'm just going
to
set up real quick what I'm talking about and then get your opinion from it. So the dichotomy, the juxtaposition between the two that we've seen, when we have the cop cars, especially when we show that the big thing that Eugene has been praying over all these dead bodies that the Saint has been killing, and ultimately Jesse KOs this cop. He knocks him out, and Eugene is standing there kind of horrified in this scenario. Like, what is, you know, am I just trading one evil person for another? This is the man who sent me to hell. And Jesse turns around and says, don't worry, he's not dead. And that was a big thing that then it's immediately cut from the radio to the Saint with the other cop who is strung up upside down, who has obviously been killed.
Right.
Do you feel that this was an intentional thing to show that this taking of a life and the Saint indiscriminately killing versus Jesse, who's trying to do good, but ultimately leading to the deaths of all of these people involuntarily. Do you think that this was an intentional thing to show that ultimately, whether it's intentional or unintentional, if you are causing death and pain, then you're still not a true hero? Or do you think that this was trying to show that Jesse is more heroic than the Saint because he's not willing to intentionally kill?
I don't know. Well, the thing is, the Saints is a force of nature. So we're setting up the idea that when he comes into contact with anyone, he kills them. Except for some reason. And this has been kind of confusing for me. And I brought this up a little bit last time. Eugene is the only one that, like, he's kind of hitched, he's letting him kind of join him on this adventure. Mm-hmm. And I'm not quite sure why, because he's just there to really get, if he sees someone who needs to be killed, wants to have revenge, he does it. He kills that person. And Eugene is almost the exact, it's not so much a foil between Custer and the Saint, I think. It's more of the difference between Eugene and the Saint. Because Eugene is someone who doesn't want anyone to die. It's specifically Custer being like, don't worry, he's not dead. And then it cuts the Saint and you see that everyone's dead. So we're building up the decision that Eugene is going to get to later, where he does something that's very saint-like. But right now, at this point in the story, he's not at that point. So if there's anyone that's like a foil to the Saint, I think it's actually more Eugene, because he's
like
more
of
the righteous one.
I feel like it has been up until this episode. But it seems like the intentional cuts that they had this episode, where they juxtapose to even the scene that you were talking about before, where we have the construction zone, we first see the exact shot where we have Jesse walk into the one window panel, mm-hmm. and then the warning explosion sign, and then into the second panel, the second window, and then we see the exact shot mirrored again.
But that didn't feel like it was the difference between it. It felt like it was setting it up. It was like, this is A leads to B, rather than look what he did instead of what they did. Because if anything, he's using his ability to attack the Saint. So he's not doing the exact opposite of what the Saint's doing. He's actually using his ability. If anything, they're very much the same type of, they have a force that they're using over and over again. So it doesn't quite feel like the difference between the two of them, unless you bring
in Eugene. So you feel that when they have that direct scene where they cut in between and he's saying, don't worry, he's not dead, versus the Saint, who is clearly just killing indiscriminately. Mm-hmm. You don't think that that is intentional to show the difference between the two?
I think it shows the difference between especially Eugene and the Saint, because it's someone who Eugene is getting hooked up to another person with superpowers. Because I think in so many cases, Jesse has been using this ability to kill a bunch of people just as much as the Saint does. So maybe in that exact shot, they're showing the difference between the two scenarios. But it's also Eugene. It's because Eugene is there, and it's only because Eugene is there, that there is a difference, because he's letting that person live and he's trying to be a better person. So I
think he would have let the person live regardless, though, because we see that earlier was he saying, you know, I'm trying to cut down on the unintended consequences. I'm trying to help people. So I don't think that he's only being kind and letting this person live because Eugene is there. I think that it's we're seeing through Eugene's eyes the difference between these two characters.
Yeah.
And then ultimately the foil between them and Jesse, basically Eugene feeling that Jesse is redeemable because he's like, there's something. I just need the apology. As soon as the apology is there, and then when he gets the apology, then he says, you know, this actually isn't what I wanted. This isn't good enough.
Right.
This isn't enough.
That ends up being the whole arc of Eugene this whole time. Is that he's someone who is not, specifically not the Saint, and specifically someone who's very different than the Saint. Until it comes to when he gets what he wants and what he thinks he wants. Turns out he doesn't want that at all. What he really wants is what the Saint wants,
which is revenge. Yeah.
So that's why I think it's more about the difference between
Eugene and the Saint. Well, I think that they've set that up all previous to this, but I'm saying this specific episode, it seems like it. I personally, if you disagree, I just felt like they were trying to set up the kind of the Saint and Jesse as foils of each other to show through Eugene's eyes how he feels, okay, well, Jesse is trying to do the right thing, but then ultimately when they have this conversation and he apologizes and he says, you know, look, I at least owed you that much, buddy. Like, I mean, hell, your preacher sent you to hell.
Right.
You know, he flat out says, I sent you to hell. And whether it was an I didn't know that I could go and help you, it wasn't that I forgot about you or I didn't care, it was that I didn't know that I had that ability, mm-hmm. that's not enough for Eugene. So it's like this whole time he's been seeing kind of the idolized version of Jesse in his head, and he's like, okay, well, Jesse had to have had a reason. There had to be, like, we can't just go and kill him because there has to be a reason. You know, he's my preacher. He's the person who's been showing me this way. And then it's when he discovers, oh, no, you are fallible, everybody. There is no infallible human. We even see later on.
It's also Eugene discovering personally that he's fallible.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that decides to actually shoot Jesse at the end of
back.
This. In the back. And that's after he... Nothing happens in between the scene you're talking about where he just knocks out the police and he gets into the car and drives away. That's nothing happens except for the fact that he's like, I left him alive, so you don't have to worry about it as I get water on my computer. But it's enough
back to
be
the raft.
Yeah, but it's enough to be like, okay, so we can see that Eugene is like, maybe you're right, where we get to see the opposite of the saint and Eugene and the preacher in that moment, but Eugene realizes it's not enough.
Yeah, so. It's still ultimately, whether it's intentional or not, pain and death, if it's a result of your actions.
Yeah.
As airing it
just
out.
Just like dropping water onto
just
your
like dropping
computer.
Water onto a computer. We're not ignoring you.
We're not
Ivan.
Ignoring you. And just, by the way, Ivan agrees with me. I did see that before we do this.
Oh, we also thank you, Ryan, for sending us some paper towels.
Aha!
Look at this. Look.
Thank you.
See? We have our own angels and demons
yes,
to bring us
in.
Things.
Great.
So, meanwhile, while all of this is happening, and we have this huge, huge arc with Jesse, our big main storyline, Tulip is off kicking it with Jesus.
Kicking it with Jesus.
Which I would just watch as a separate... spinoff show.
Tulip and Jesus?
Tulip and Jesus. The kicking it with Jesus.
They did have a nice, like, they really, they tricked us. They tricked us in the previously, in the next
Man,
week on last
yes.
night. They did that thing where they're like, oh, this is going to happen. They're going to start robbing banks.
Jesus is going to be scaring people and shooting people. Gun-toting Jesus. Yeah. And then it was just Jesus being like, wait, if we're going to rob banks, I'm going to accidentally shoot somebody, and this
I'm
is going to go
shoot
wrong.
Someone.
And so I loved seeing, too, Tulip with Jesus and this...
Right.
I mean, talking about characters that are juxtaposed against each other. I mean, this whole show, this seems to be having this whole dichotomy, which we later see played out more with Cass and the literal angel demon. But Tulip and Jesus... And their whole, like, we're going to go on this epic road trip.
Right.
2 minutes later, they're, like, bored as hell. And Tulip's like, it's going to be cool, Jesus. You just wait. You just wait.
I love that because that's very true to just road trips in general. You always get that moment where you're like, yeah, let's go for it.
Yeah.
And then just a couple miles later, you're like, oh, we're going to have to talk to each other the entire time.
Jesus
or...
is just flipping the visor and like...
And talking about what they're going to do. And then they realize, well, I did have this other thing I kind of promised my dad I would do. We also see Jesus not letting Tulip say God's an asshole, which seems to be the theme of this entire show, which is that God's an asshole. So it is nice to see.
But don't you tell it to his kid.
Don't tell it to the kid. And it is nice to see like Jesus being like, no, I don't actually think that. Because you also see...
Because Jesus was crucified for him. So he's like, yeah. You know, don't say that about the man that I lived and died for. This is like, that's my whole thing, man. Like...
That's my thing.
This is what I'm here for.
He's a pretty innocent dude. I think that's Jesus's biggest thing is that he's into it, and he ended up sleeping with a married woman. That seems to be the biggest fault that he did.
Yeah.
And he's still kicking himself over it.
But I love, too, that they have that just subtly dropped in that, like, okay, so this was my big thing. So now God has turned to my son, God's favorite, Humperdoo. Yeah.
Humperdoo.
Which is funny, too, because we have Tulip being like, really? He's a favorite? Because I've heard he's a little, and he's like, I'm amazing, incredible. Like, everybody loves him. He's like, he's just pure innocence. And I feel like that's also kind of showing, like, the idea of can knowledge and innocence coexist?
Right.
Can you have, which we see echoed through all three storylines.
And that's also a very, that's a very biblical, like, lesson about once you get from the tree of knowledge, then, you know, you leave Eden and then you're not able to be as innocent anymore. That's the whole point of the first chapter or second chapter, whatever it is. But it makes you wonder if that's true, because it sounds like it's all right. It sounds like that's why God loves Humperdoo so much is because he's so innocent. But something doesn't feel right about that. It feels like what God is doing is not being very honest to Jesus about what he really is trying to get out of the whole apocalypse.
Because it seems to be simple versus complex emotions,
right,
more so than innocence and, you know, any sort of malice.
Yeah.
Because Jesus, we see throughout this whole thing, is very Christ-like, because, as you would imagine. Like, he's represented as you would imagine Jesus being represented, where he is somebody who just wants the best for everyone.
Right.
And he's even saying, you know, I want to go to Vegas, and I think it'd be cool, but in 2,000 years, this is really the only thing they've asked me to do, so yeah. I guess I need to go chill with Hitler. I'd rather not.
We also have to think of the first thing we see of this season, which was God striking down the dinosaurs because, like a brontosaurus, because it was a very cartoony.
Because he ate his
poopy. Ate his own poop. And that feels like a very Humperdoo thing to do. So it's very weird that he would actually side with Humperdoo. Humperdoo thing to do. Humperdoo do do. Humperdoo do do dit. And so that's why I think I don't believe that God is actually loves Humperdoo as, or is Humperdoo's his favorite as much as he's claiming to be. This God of this story.
That he's there's something going on there, but there's not as face value as it's been presented.
Yeah, I basically think he kind of maybe, I don't know, we could talk about this in predictions, but I feel like he's not wanting the humanity to continue. And I feel like Humperdoo is a part of that somehow. Like, he needs someone as simple as Humperdoo in order to kind of wrap up humanity somehow. So I'm curious to see how it happens.
Top dancing Christ.
Yeah. Which, by the way, we don't get to see if he actually does tap dance.
We don't know. We don't know if that is the actual child, because we never saw with the conclusion of Hitler playing piano. We do, however, get a little bit of the conclusion that we referenced somewhat, was that Hairstar is pissed off because he finds out that Jesus is missing, Cass is gone, Tulip is gone, right. Featherstone is confessing this and is saying, for my failures, I feel that I should die.
Right.
This was weird to me, though, because the next week on, last week, showed the scene.
Yeah.
And it felt like, okay, so this is going to be a little teaser. This was the entirety. We saw the entire thing on the next week on where she is not killed because she's angry that Hoover, too, is tasked to murder her. So she jumps out the window and flying squirrels that SOB right out of there.
I think if you really like the show and you don't like spoilers and you haven't read the comics, if there's all that stuff, don't watch the next week on. Because they love to spoil the show on the next week on.
They really spoiled this scene.
This scene was totally spoiled. They did it on this week's next week on. So if you haven't seen it, don't watch it. And we'll talk about it a little bit in predictions where we kind of talk about, or in Page Flipped where we talk about spoilery stuff. But it totally ruined it because you kind of knew that was happening.
And it was the entirety of the scene where you're like, okay, well, now Featherstone's gone.
Right.
And then
I also don't know, by the way, why Hairstar put the foreskin back on his ear.
He thinks it looks great. He still is, like, just delusional. He's all over the place. He's just dickhead Hairstar. I mean, what can you do? But we find out that he also doesn't know where Hitler is. Hitler's playing racquetball with an old lady, and then Hairstar just goes in, tosses that old lady.
We haven't seen that old lady before, right?
That Hairstar's like, you know what? I think we need to beat up an old lady in this scene. We killed that deaf lady that one scene. We haven't beat up an old lady in a while.
I just wondered what made Hitler go like, I'm going to play with that old lady.
Racquetball with this elderly person. Because it's Hitler. He only wants to play against someone he's going to beat.
It makes me think there was a deleted scene where we find out that's like Mother Teresa or something that he's playing.
Well, I don't know. Like, he would have said her name. Just says Frau, like it's like just ma'am, like just.
Yeah, it feels weird. It's weird. Why.
But then Hitler gets his ass kicked by Hairstar with the racket. And man, they're causing a racket.
They're causing
I apologize, but ultimately, so it leads up to this conference and this moment that, let's talk about the really uncomfortable moment of this episode. Jesus hugging Hitler.
Yeah, I mean, I just wish they didn't do it. I just wish it was kind of just Jesus being like, I'm not going to shake your hand, and then he sits down. Because I think in real life, Jesus would do that. Jesus was actually pretty badass. This isn't the Jesus from the actual Bible. He went into, like, tax collector places and flipped over tables. And yeah. he caused a lot of crap. And I feel like this is kind of... This was a weak... I'm good up to the point where he hugs Hitler. Like, I'm fine with him actually sleeping with a married woman, even. And then when he gets to hugging Hitler, I'm like, I could have done without that.
Yeah.
That was just the one thing that made... That's just where my limit is. And for a lot of people, it's a lot earlier than that.
It was weird to me. I didn't like it. I mean, I didn't even like when Hitler was given the reins of hell. I was like, I want to see Hitler...
Yeah.
Like... tortured. That was part of, I mean, and maybe that's really messed up that I like to see somebody tortured, but if you want to see somebody tortured, Hitler's the person.
I still think this, at the end of this season, which is the end of the show, Hitler's not going to be in a good spot.
I mean, we'll save it for predictions. I don't think that they're going to glorify Hitler because, I mean, this is...
There is a question in the chat about would God even hug Hitler, and I'm not sure about that, but that brings up a good point that we have to remember this isn't the Trinity when it comes to Jesus. He isn't God. He's separate from God in this universe. He's not, it's not, he's not God, Holy Spirit, all of that kind of wrapped up into one. He is the Son of Jesus, of God, and God is his own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And God is more of an a-hole than Jesus seems to be.
Yes, it actually seems like Jesus, if he had the reins, he would be okay.
Yeah.
Everything would be fine.
But Jesus does know that they're starting the apocalypse and even walks in. He's like, so I hope you haven't started the apocalypse without me.
Right.
Like, time to sit down with Dickhead Man and Hitler. So it's like, all right, nobody's really the best.
Just a bunch of dudes.
The worst.
The worst dudes.
But we also see the true dichotomy finally play out in the most literal sense with Cass, who has felt this really moral and emotional turmoil and this dilemma of, should I try to pursue Tulip, my best friend's girl who I am in love with, who I don't think will truly love me this way. And the seraphim this whole time, this angel has been saying, look, I will tell you about love. You got to go for love, forbidden love, whatever. Like, it's the best. Listen it's to me, bro. Like, this is like, look how nice I look. I'm going on a date with my demon lady.
We don't know it's a demon lady yet. We know it's some sort of lady. And we also know it's nice to have, like, the devil on his shoulder be an angel.
An angel.
Which was kind of nice. And then when we do meet the lady, and they have this great dance sequence. I love that
with the light coming through. The cinematography on the show.
And then the reveal of the tale. And we do have to, I do want to remind viewers of this, because I feel like they might have forgotten at this point.
How Genesis was born.
How Genesis was born is the product of an angel and a demon. So very likely.
These
are the parents of Genesis that were.
It seems like that is the illusion, is that it's like, that these two, they're supposed to be kept away from each other.
Right. And because as soon as they meet, they start boning. But then I love how they start fighting. I love how it's just...
Yeah, the sword through the head.
It also seems like it's such a parable of, like, that's what religion, and that's what these kind of, the sense of duty tends to do. It gets in the way of even love, where it's just, yeah, but we have to fight because that's what we fight. She's a demon.
Yeah.
I'm an angel. She's a
demon. Why did you do that? You said you loved her. Indeed, I do. But this is the nature of the beast. This is what happens. Then it is this whole...
I just feel bad for Kamal.
I know. He's like, can y'all stop digging up my bar? I've been through a lot for you guys.
It actually makes me wonder if they're actually trying to... Because at first I was like, I don't know if this is a great... This is the only Muslim character we've seen in the show. I don't know if it's a great representation of a Muslim character. But what I also kind of like about it is that's kind of what's happening in the Middle East. A lot of these innocent Muslim people are stuck in the middle of a giant war between religions.
Yeah.
And it wrecks their place. And mm-hmm. then they have to just rebuild, and they try to help one side, but it's not always the best side. Or they help a good side and they end up doing them wrong. So it's actually kind of a nice parallel to what's happening in, like, Afghanistan and all these Muslim countries that they have
a
to deal with.
A surprisingly deep metaphor that's yeah. done in a beautifully shot scene.
Between an angel and a demon boning each other. So,
and when we see the literal dance, like, we literally see them have their dance. And yeah. so having this, then the fight, which is also this choreographed dance, it kind of plays into that, where we see, like, right. the different politicians, the different countries all playing this, basically leading this dance with each other.
Right.
So having this played out in such a literal form, and then having, you know, the music swell and everything, and then Cash just walk out, yeah. and Tulip's like, "Hell's going on in there?
Are we going to do what we always knew we were going to do, which is go to Australia?" Yeah, yeah, well, we're going to do it. And they just needed to Tulip needed to talk to Jesus, and Cassidy needed to talk with an angel, and that's how they got there. But by disagreeing with them, which is interesting. Yeah. So what makes me kind of like this show is they deal with these, like, personifications, and then they kind of flip it on its head. It's nice.
And I do like that it ultimately ends up with Tulip and Cass getting in the car together yeah. to go find Jesse.
Drive all the way to Australia.
Drive to Australia, you know.
Yep, like you do.
And then talking about all of the things that are designed to kill you in Australia, right. like chlamydia-ridden koalas.
Right.
The worst way to die in Australia.
Is getting chlamydia from a
koala.
Right.
But yeah, so any last thoughts on this episode before we dive into our special segment?
I think we should just dive right into it because I'm eager to talk about it.
Dive in then. Boom. So if you guys don't want to know spoilers from the comics, click off for just a couple minutes.
Spoiler alert.
We're going to let you know some spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
So spoiler alert. Kind of a big thing with this one. Page flipped. Is that
hate it?
All of the setup for this is also. I mean, this has all been kind of different, even with
right. I mean, they're setting up these characters are just different than they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, because like in the comics, like Arseface is a freaking rock star. Yeah. Like he's an unintelligible rock star.
I thought they were gonna do that. To be honest, I thought they were gonna set up that he's gonna come out of hell, and all of a sudden he's gonna become a rock star. He's gonna become like some sort of reality show star, which would be like the update of this, you know?
Yeah.
But they didn't do it, and I think that's okay because they're building up. Eugene is now a lot more pure in the show than he is in the comics. In the comics. Yeah. He's not a good guy, and he has a lot of rage. He's actually going after Custer to kill Custer before even the Saint becomes a part of this. He's like driving around on a motorcycle to try yeah. to find like,
which is weird thinking of like badass like rock star Eugene. Like yeah. you're like, oh. They even changed his name to Eugene for this one to be right. like, look, he's not going to be cool.
Yeah.
His name's Eugene.
Yeah, and they don't really call him Arseface or anything.
No.
He just, like, is Eugene. He's a yeah. nice boy.
He's just a sweet boy who, and I mean, because even this, it was, he shot himself because of the guilt for a right. crime that he didn't even commit. Whereas in the comics, he's like, Kurt Cobain is cool. I'm going to Kurt Cobain this.
Yeah.
And, like, Pube, poor thing, like, actually does kill himself, and Eugene just yeah. botches it. So, and then he even, I mean, kind of plays up where his little rock star groupies are all shooting themselves in the face to be like Eugene.
Right.
And he's using it to, I mean, he's not called Eugene in the comics, but
it's, yeah,
as, it's, like, it's, just it's, press fodder, basically. Right. So they're very, very different, even up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a big spoiler that's going to lead into our predictions is that in the comic, ultimately, the Saint and Jesse team up to go kill God because it's discovered right. that the Saint figures out, okay, God is actually the one who killed my family. He did all of this just so it would lead to this moment so that I would have these powers to kill Jesse.
So
screw you.
We were talking about how, like, the next week's on or so the spoilery. This is the worst one I've ever seen. Because
I'm so mad.
They ended this one. It didn't really matter to me because I've read the comics, so I kind of know what's coming up. But at the same point, this episode ends with Eugene and the Saint standing over the body of
Jesse.
So it feels like the next thing was like, how is Jesse going to get out of this? How is it possibly going to happen? On the next week on, you hear him say to the Saint, like, we're just going to go and kill God. Or the Saint says it to Jesse.
He's like, what are we going to do now? Don't answer the question. Don't tell us what you're going to go do now.
I bet you anything that's how next week's episode is going to end.
Probably. That's like a big thing. That's a huge, huge thing. I even got pissed off when they showed him with the eye patch in the opening credits. Yeah. Because I'm like, that's a huge thing. God bites out his eyeball, like in the comic. That's huge.
And I feel like they already set up, like, he falls out of a plane. And if he does fall out of a plane, and then God bites out off his eyeball. It kind of all happens at the same moment.
Yeah.
Because he falls out of a plane. And also, an atomic bomb is used to slow down the Saint. And that's what happens right before they kind of team up. And they're setting up an atomic bomb here. So I think they're going to kind of use it. And maybe God's going to use it to try and slow them down. Also, this is in the predictions zone.
Let's. Do you want to go ahead and just slide into predictions?
Let's slide into predictions.
Slide on into those predictions.
They're setting up, and they keep mentioning this, and they mentioned it again. The whole New Zealand thing that's happening.
Yes.
So I think what they're building up is the grill's at least going to frame it, so it seems like New Zealand has bombed Australia.
Go to war, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Because we have just that moment when he's flipping through the radio stations where we hear, like, okay, this preacher is still out large. Click, no news on the New Zealand prime minister who's been MIA.
And we know that Hairstar said to, blame it on Australia. And I think it's so when they go to this, the name of the rock sculpture, like the lone.
The Lost Apostle.
Who that looks like a dick. Because it's
Dick Rock. Seth,
yeah, Dick Rock.
The Lost Apostle or Dick Rock, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, so I think when they go there, I think it's also that they can drop a bomb on top of their heads and see what happens. And I think in that, or on top of especially the Saint's head and see if he can survive it. I think that's what they're kind of setting up. But, you know, and it's curious that Eugene is going to be there throughout this whole thing. And if we're talking about comic books, I also don't want to go far away from Cass, who's so different in the comic books.
Man, I am very, very glad, though, that they are making Cass more based on love and not so rapey in this one. Because, he flat out, rapes Tulip in the comics.
And
he's not going to be a redeemable character after that. Redeemable. So
it all becomes, and I'm guessing they're not going to do something like that. I guess they still have room to do it, but I don't think they will, because I think this is the last season. And if there was another season, that's where I would be like, oh, that whole other season's going to be Jesse versus Cass. But I don't think that's the case, because
do you know how many episodes are in this one?
I think there's about episodes left, six episodes.
Is it 10? I wasn't sure if it was 10 episodes total.
I forget. I know the last episode is on the 29th, but I can't quite do the math right now.
Okay.
It's at the end of September.
Okay. So we've got like five weeks left. Yeah, so we're at the midpoint right now. Wow.
So I think it's because they've done such a good job making an actually defined character out of Tulip that it would be ridiculous to have Tulip in the same state that she is in the comics. Where in the comics, she thinks Jesse's dead. Jesse appears to be dead. And so she kind of goes down this drunken haze bins and just follows whatever Cass says. And what Cass says is very rapey. He's very, basically keeps Tulip drugged and is just in a relationship with Tulip.
And we talked about this a couple episodes, how we don't think that they're going to do that in this one. And I don't think they are either. But
and then it becomes that's also when Jesse comes back, that he can face off against Cass. And now there's these two friends that used to be friends, and now they hate each other, and now they're foes. And it's also, if you watch, I mean, they're not setting up to that, I don't think. I would be very surprised if they change it somehow. But it's nice. I actually kind of like this version. not better, but it's just a good version of this. It's a alternate version, and I think it's stronger because they have such a strong Tulip.
Yeah. Man, Ruth Negga just crushing
it. So good.
We do have to wrap up here, but do you have any final predictions before we say our farewells?
Well, I'm going to predict that, you know, next week they're going to go after God. And then I'm not sure. I'm curious to see, because right now it's all in God's plan. So at some point they're going to break away from God's plan and it's going to surprise God.
I'm interested to see how Humperdue plays in, because I feel like there's definitely more to that. I think that there is going to be some sort of realization on Jesus's end that his dad isn't the best, because Tulip has really, really set this up.
Oh, you think, huh?
I think that there's going to be a flip where ultimately Jesus discovers that God is not infallible. And
ironically, the only way this could kind of end happy is if Jesus becomes God.
Is if Jesus turns on God.
I'm curious if that'll happen.
And takes him out. We'll see. We'll see. But
by the way, before we go, Jesus is not in the comics, and neither is Hitler.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. So I just wanted to make sure people know about that.
But where can everybody find you before next week?
Oh, they can find me at MrDaveChild on the Twitters and the Instagrams and DaveChild.com, because my name is Dave Child.
Hey, and my name is Elena Jordan. So you can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And you can find us both here next week talking some more Preacher. Hope you guys join us. See you then.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.